Okay, very good evening to all my brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 28 April 2020. So we just completed our third MCO. We are going to start our fourth MCO, I think, tomorrow. Tomorrow. So total of 8 weeks, if we finish the fourth one. So today's Tuesday class, we will continue with our Heart Sutta. So just now in the preparatory stage, we were having some experimental trying to connect apart from Zoom video or Zoom conference to Facebook, which very Sui An found in another website sharing. So Sui thought it can be done. So we tried. Initially, it was the video appear, but towards the later part, it keep on cutting off. Then the video also gone. That's why I told her about to start already with myself, cut off the whole Facebook thing, yeah? And try it some other time. Okay. So before we start, we will have our usual puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bunsi Shi Jia Mauni Pho. Namo Bunsi Shi Jia Mauni Pho. Namo Bunsi Shi Jia Mauni Pho. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Kwan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipatavairamani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadanaveramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Musavada viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana Viramani sikapadang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajan. Badang Pajani. Damang Pajani. Sanghang Pajani. Okay. Yeah, you can be seated. Then just relax yourself, maintain some form of attention. Eh? We will do the invocation to the devas before we start. Those who have the chanting book, you can turn to page 5. Eh? Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantaha Chakawalesu Atraha Gacchantu Deyata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditako vinohiti supatipano bhagavato saokasango Ujupatipano bhagavato saokasango Nyayapatipano bhagavato saokasango Samichipatipano bhagavato saokasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato saokasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakaneyo Anjali karaneyo Anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 45, lesson 7. Okay, so the recap and emphasis on the previous lesson. So we will go through that. So 1.1, what is meditation? This one is very important. Breath theory emphasizes the importance of understanding what is meditation so that we understand what we are doing in the name of meditation. And this will keep us always in focus so that we will not deviate. If you don't understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha, then you will deviate. But when you understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha, then you will know how to do it. So this is very important. Then the second understanding is there are two steps involved in the development of meditation as taught by the Buddha. Step one is to train the mind to be heedful. We are using a skillful means or an object of meditation to anchor the mind in awareness. The key word is in awareness or mindfulness, so that the mind is relaxed, aware, silent, and mindful within. So, heedfulness, as we all know, the Buddha already defined it under Dhammapada verse 23. There are two components to heedfulness. First component is constantly meditative. Second component is ever mindful. So to be ever mindful, we need to train our mind to be mindful first. So that is the first thing you have to do. Unless your spiritual faculty is already developed, then you no need to train. You no need object of meditation. You no need method, you no need technique, you no need skillful means. Well, once your spiritual faculty is developed, the mental hindrance cannot arise, which means you are already in the meditative state. You don't have to do anything. You will have sadha virya leading to sati and samadhi. And this sati and samadhi will allow you to meditate, to see things as they are, and it will maintain that mindfulness, which is very stable. That's why initially, if you are still not strong in developing the spiritual faculties, you need to train your mind to anchor it to something, or to do the mind sweeping method or whatever skillful means to allow you to anchor the mind so that it does not wander off, get itself lost in thought, heedlessly lost in the thinking. That's the reason why people need to use object of meditation, method and technique, or skillful means to do it. So what I have taught you is the mind sweeping method, which is also a skillful means. That one is more easy to use and more effective. You just feel relaxed. You don't think. That's why you do the mind sweeping method from the forehead down. Relax body and mind. Just feel and relax. When you do that, you train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then you train your mind to feel, not to think. That's how it deconditions the heedless thinking and develop the mind that listen to you. You want it to be at the forehead, it will be at the forehead. You want it to be at the heart, it will be at the heart. So mind sweeping method is a very good skillful means or technique to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware. Because when you just feel and relax, you cannot think. That's how you develop the silent mind. And as you do this more and more, It will help you to decondition the heedless thinking. That's the reason why the mind sweeping method is very useful and helpful. But for those who already use to whatever skillful means that you have, your method or technique or skillful means, you can straight away go into it. Then just anchor your mind there. Be mindful of your object of meditation or whatever technique. Anapanasati or rising and falling or the atonement or the dynamic meditation, the long potion, the hand movement. You just have to anchor your awareness or mindfulness to it. Or Mahayana chanting or even the Thai tradition, Puto, or Sama, Rahang, or whatever. It's just a skillful means to anchor the mind, to develop stability of mindfulness. Then after that, stabilize it by allowing the mind to relax further so that this awareness or mindfulness become more and more refined until finally the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. That is paucity, tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. Then you stabilize that, the mind will enter sati. That's what you have to do. So stage one is just relax, maintain awareness. If you need a method or technique to anchor, then do it. After you do it, like anapanasati, don't continue anymore. You just relax and maintain the natural pace of anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Let it continue until the in and out breath become very quiet, very peaceful, very still, like there is no more breathing. So initially, you will reach the stage of quietness where there is very little movement of the breath. We call it the subtle breathing. The breathing has become very subtle and very still. That is a sign of transformation and progress. When your mind is about to enter sati, it becomes very quiet, very still. The sati is just there. No need to focus, no need to concentrate, because the anapanasati has become very refined. You will experience piti, sukhang, then paucity. Then mind enters sati. Then by then, your mind is very sensitive. Wherever you locate this mind, it is very, very mindful, very sensitive. Then like the breath, initially like no more breathing, very subtle. But then if you continue to silence your mind, don't do anything, stay there, then your mind will enter sati. And when mind enters sati, you will be very surprised. The subtle breathing will come back to you, like become very clear again. Because when mind enters sati, your mindfulness has reached a more refined state that is extraordinarily sensitive. Then that time in the meditation, the slightest movement or activity is like magnified, like the whole movement is magnified. That's how your mind becomes different. Then it is always aware, hardly any thinking at all. Specific phenomenal awareness is very clear during that time. So that is the stage you have to reach. So after you reach that stage, then this mind that is already developed or trained can develop the daily mindfulness. Because after that, when you come out of the meditation, your mind has already entered sati. That everything you do is in sati. Your action, your movement, whatever seeing consciousness that you arise, everything is in sati. Whatever hearing is in sati, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, they are all in sati. That's why your specific phenomenal awareness become very stable. Then you should continue with that daily mindfulness. Once your daily mindfulness stabilizes, you will understand many, many things. The silent daily mindfulness will allow you to see a lot of things that you never see before. Your subtle emotion, mental intention, all those hidden ones, the subtle unconscious and the subconscious, later on you can see them all. And once you can see them, you will understand why your mind create all those movements, why it stir, why it move, why it behave in such a way. Then you can see your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Then your phobia, your insecurity, your wrong thought, how it conditions your suffering, your misery, all you start to understand, the essential Dhamma, all you see them. That's how mindfulness can be so powerful. When you train your mind, when you develop mindfulness, mindfulness take care of you. If you take care of mind, mind take care of you. It allows you to understand and see all this very clearly. Then the essential Dhamma, like the three evil roots, the five mental hindrance, the spiritual faculty, the dependent origination of paticca samuppada or dwelling, and the seven factors of enlightenment, all this you will start to see them within your own mind state. Then you start to understand the teaching very clearly, naturally on your own. But if you have a teacher or a good reference book, it will help you a lot. But even without them, technically, I always say technically, if you can reach that stage of silent inner awareness, stability of daily mindfulness, technically you don't need a teacher. You will understand the Dhamma on your own. The other direct see, the silent mind will develop the understanding and the awakening. Maybe without a teacher, without proper guidance, it will take you longer, but you will still succeed. That's why I say technically, you don't need a teacher. Okay, so after that part, you should move on. Second step is to make use of this trained mind in silent inner awareness, to see things as they are, to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the cultivation of the daily mindfulness or sati sampajana, the four foundations of mindfulness, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, and the Noble Eightfold Path. So all this is a natural consequence, because you understand what is meditation. To develop the meditation, you need to train your mind to develop heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So to be heedful, there are two factors, two parts towards it. Constantly meditative, ever mindful. So we start with the second one, ever mindful. To be ever mindful, your mind has to develop the initial mindfulness first. So when you are able to develop the mindfulness, then you stabilize it, it will become ever mindful. It's just like mind enters sati, then only your daily mindfulness can become very stable. If your mind cannot enter sati in the form of meditation, you don't stand a chance when you are back to society or to your normal daily life or working environment, career, and all those things. Because when you are back to society, to your daily routine, your senses are fully engaged, especially when you walk around or when you travel, when you are driving, or in the office when you have to do your work and all the related career activity. You need to fully engage So your seeing consciousness, your hearing consciousness, your thinking, thought process. This tree is very active. Of course, smell is required. Taste is required. Tactile also required. But they are not so prominent. So that seeing, hearing, and the thought process, this tree, very, very consuming. So when your senses are fully engaged, and it's like they move so fast. So without a stable daily mindfulness, you cannot cope with life. You don't know what is going on. You can never be aware. But most of the time, you are lost in thought. When you see something, memory recall, and you react and you stir, then the thinking proliferate. You hear something, same. Smell something, same. Then your views, your opinion, your conditioning, or your motive, everything surface, make you heedless. So in the midst of life, when your senses are fully engaged, to be mindful is not easy unless you have the stability of mindfulness. This is the reason why I have been emphasizing daily mindfulness. Not until you have developed the stability of daily mindfulness, the real meditation has not begun. That's why forget about all that theory. Don't try to know. When you train your mind, just train. Until mind enters sati, then you will understand. Like that day, singing and Brother Jayanta both share differently. Singing develop the training of the mind until the mindfulness can detect the heartbeat on its own. No need a stethoscope. And the heartbeat is very clear. Then I advise her to continue to relax into it and silent until the heartbeat slow down, the pounding slow down, until it becomes very quiet, very still, very subtle, until mind enters the deep. Then for Jayanta's case, it's the same. He bow. Now he is able to be aware of what sati is. But he bow until the body and the mind, the awareness and the bodily movement, they move as one. No talk. Continue to do it. Don't try to know. Until the sati come. Then after that, the form and mind will understand what sati is. When you suddenly saw it, the body and the mind awareness really move as one without thought, and it is so stable. Then when you are able to stabilize that, then every action, every movement, like the awareness can see. Last time you never see. Last time it's like all disconnected. It cannot move like a flow. After the mindfulness stabilizes, when you have developed it, the mind has entered sati, the form and mind will know. There is like a flow. Everything is like a flow. Nature's flow. Physical body, the physical flow. Then your mind, activity, mental flow. It's like a flow. Flow means what? Continuous. You see it continuous. Yeah. Specific phenomenal awareness, continuous. Without a stable sati, mindfulness, you cannot have this ability. And without this stability of mindfulness, you cannot meditate. You cannot understand the true Dhamma. That the true Dhamma is to be awakened to, through the direct seeing, through the silent mind. Not through the thought process. Not the thought labeling it. When you use thought-based meditation, you end up labeling, noting. Thought is active. That's why that is not sati. That one cannot understand. That one is within the field of thought. The instrument itself limits you. That's why you cannot see beyond thought. You cannot understand the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So that is the reason why you need a very stable daily mindfulness. So after you have stabilized that mindfulness, you can become ever mindful. Then you start your real meditation, constantly meditating. That's why I say step 2 is to make use of this trained mind in silent awareness. to see things as they are means to insight into the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So seeing things as they are without your thought, without your memory, your conditioning, your views and your opinion is very important. To see things as they are, the truth, the reality, without words, without concept, without any sankhara activity. Okay? If you can do that, then you will develop a lot of understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How your mind operate following the dwelling, paticchasamuppada, and all the essential dhamma, you start to see them. So this aspect is very important and can help you to develop the wisdom to awaken. That's why daily mindfulness, the stability of it is very important. Before you can be in this state, don't try to know anything. Your that knowing is by the thought, knowledge base, thought base, not the real Dhamma, not the real understanding. So don't try to know, silent, just do until sati come. Then that silent mind that is in the meditative state, fully aware, ever mindful, will understand. It will see things as they are, it will understand, it will awaken. Then Dhamma will arise. The initial wisdom will arise. Then when you are able to insight into phenomena, the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya, they will arise. So all this is what meditation is all about. Then after you have developed that, after you have seen all those things, you can move the daily mindfulness to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Then you can at the same time cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And when you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, it will actually lead you back to the cultivation of right view. Right view is very important. Three types of spiritual law. Right view regards to law of karma, law of mind. Law of mind is paticchasamuppada, dwelling. Law of karma is karma niyama. And finally, the law of truth or dhamma niyama. Yeah. Dhamma niyama will cover the four noble truth. So the four noble truth with its three turning is also very important. The three type of corresponding wisdom, they come along. The first turning gives rise to Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the sutta. Then second turning corresponds to Chittamaya, Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. And finally, is Bhavanamaya Panya, the third turning wisdom. So, wisdom born of Bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative discipline. So this one is the silent mind meditating. So the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya, is very, very penetrative. Whereas the first and second turning wisdom may not be so penetrative as the third turning. But first and second turning wisdom is enough for those who have the parami from the past, who cultivated before. That's why through hearing, they can awaken. Then sometimes through reflection, contemplation, inquiry, they can also awaken. These are people with the roots, strongly built. They are past parami and cultivation, like Huining. Then during the time of the Buddha, a lot of his disciples, they have this ability, like Kondanya. The first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, when it was proclaimed by the Buddha, before he finished, Kondanya became a Sotapanna. Then when he continued with the Anattalakkhana Sutta, all the five ascetics that followed him last time became Arahant. They were not meditating. They were listening attentively to him. That's why first and second turning wisdom can awaken you if you have the past cultivation of Parami. Then we move on. Point number three. The aim of meditation is to realize the state of enlightenment that is beyond thought and beyond time. Means beyond psychological time. Psychological time is the moment you start to think. That is psychological time. If you don't think, you are in the timeless. So this is very important. That's why sati is about the timeless, without thought, before the thinking, before the perception, before the knowing. It's just the way. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only that seeing consciousness that arises. No one to see as yet. No perception, nothing. That's how you can see things as they are. So this is a very important understanding. I read to you again. The aim of meditation is to realize the state of enlightenment that is beyond thought and beyond time. Here, time means psychological time. Because the Dhamma is timeless or akaliko in Pali. So in the salutation to the Dhamma, we always chant. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then what is this Dhamma? The Buddha recites his characteristic. He said this Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now before you die. Then this Dhamma is akaliko, means timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. Then this Dhamma is ahipasiko, can be investigated on, is stand up to investigation. Here is the truth. Then this Dhamma is pachetang. Sanditiko, akaliko, ahipasiko, opanaiko. Sorry. Leading inward into the heart. Opanaiko. Then the last characteristic is pachetang. Pachetang means can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Nobody else can. That's why it's an individual thing. The form and mind that realizes it will understand. Can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Means the form and mind that awaken to it will understand. That is the meaning. Okay, then we move on. Diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya to overcome the five mental hindrance. Or in Pali, it's called Pancha Nivaranas. Yeah. Number four, I missed out. We go back one point before that. Number four. Thought-based meditation is limited to the field of thought. Hence, it cannot free our mind or lead it to realize the state which is beyond thought, beyond time. Because the moment of thought is psychological time. The moment you start thinking, you are lost in thought. You are no longer aware. As you are preoccupied in what you are thinking, then the emotion, that reaction, that stirring of mind, everything, they will distract you. That's how you get yourself heedlessly lost in thought. And most human beings who don't have the training or ability to be mindful, they are easily distracted. They think a lot. Thought proliferation. That's the reason why when I was in lower six, I remember, my form teacher, also Mrs. Steele, she is very good. She asked us to write an essay, which is a very beautiful essay. It's about how we look at life. Understanding life and all those things. Then I started off by writing then essay in this way. That's why she was so astonished when she read my essay. She just put there rather deeply thought up. No more comment. I started by saying living beings and human beings especially is a creature of thought. You understand that? Creature of thought. Well, they think a lot. Oh, at that time, I already knew they think a lot. Then, human being is also a gregarious being. The meaning of gregarious, you know, you need companion. You need to have friends and all those things. You need to move around in group and all those things. It's very difficult for human being to be alone. So there is a big difference between aloneness and loneliness. You must understand this. A cultivator can be alone, but he is not lonely. But most human beings are lonely. That's why loneliness lead to boringness. Especially under MCO. They develop a lot of loneliness. Then they are so boring at home. So the monkey mind or the healer's mind always try to escape from that confinement. Then the thought recall, oh yeah, last time how nice. When there is no MCO, no control, I can do what I like. I can call friends. I can have yum cha or supper. Or we can go travel. Now everything is so restricted. So if you are not trained, you will have such problem. So that is thought-based meditation. When you understand that, you will free your mind. You will train your mind to be mindful, ever mindful, heedful. Then use it to meditate. You will not be gullible and foolish. You will not do thought-based meditation. You will not follow what people tell you. Focus, concentrate, note this, note that. Verbalize and all those things. No more. Then number five, I think we have gone through. So, diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya to help you overcome the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness and lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So these five, if you develop the understanding, you can understand how the spiritual faculty will root out the mental hindrance, because they are the direct opposite. When you don't have the spiritual faculty, you will become heedless, because the five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state, they will arise automatically. No need to train them. Because you lack the spiritual faculty, and this one will erupt. They will come up and surface, sometimes in the form of anusaya or asava, the latent tendency. Then we move on to number six. Importance of using mindfulness to observe. There's number six up there. Sorry, I was reading number seven. The danger of having self-delusion and not comprehending what sakayadhiti or self-delusion is. This is very important. If you cannot see the danger of having the egoic mind that condition your self-delusion, that make you egoic, you cannot see that the danger of having that type of mind state, then you cannot awaken. Because this sakayadhiti is very powerful. So see the danger of having self-delusion, like I used to explain to you all. What is self-delusion? Sakayadhiti means you deludedly perceive yourself, the form and mind, the human being. In this life, we are born as a human, as a permanent unchanging entity that you can call me, I, self. If you do that, you will have big problem, but that is delusion. Why? Because the moment you believe you are real, you exist, then you have a problem. Because the egoic mind, the ego, will arise. The ego, which recognizes this human being as the me and the I, is a personality. That's why you are given a name. Then they identify you through your physical body, your race, your Chinese, your religious belief, your views, your opinion, your belief system, religious label. So you are identified, and that personality take effect, become conditioned since birth. That's why they are the moment the baby is born, they are given a name, register, birth certificate. Then after that, the parent will call you by that name. Then as you grow up, before you go to school, you again will be identified through your report card, registration, your name card, or whatever. Then later on, when you reach certain age, they will give you an identity card. Then when you reach the mature age to travel, they will give you a passport for international identity. So all this is the self-delusion conditioned into you very deeply. Then when you believe you exist, what happened? The personality will make you egoic. So when you are egoic, you try to own things, you try to possess things, you try to have things. That is what greed is all about, the evil root of greed, selfishness. That's why it will condition the evil roots of greed. Selfishness, possessiveness, craving, desire. Then when things don't go your way, you react to it, you become angry, unhappy, jealousy. So all this is the evil root of ill will. So the two evil roots of greed and hatred straight away it manifests. Emotional negativity. Then you have this what they call covetousness, selfishness, craving, desire, lust. Then the third one is your fear, your phobia, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your love. And that one is delusion. That's why the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, they will overwhelm you. They are so powerful because you fail to see the danger of having this thought, the egoic mind, sakyadity. So the moment the self exists, there is no love, no compassion. There is only selfishness, emotional negativity, and delusion, creating all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all this is what the Dhamma is. The three evil roots are the roots of all evil. When you have sakyadity, the three evil roots follow you. Because there is a being that has this personality that want to own things, have things, control things. Then you try to have authority. You try to own, possess. That's why possessiveness, everything arises. Then you try to develop the authority to control, to have power over other people. And it will lead to a lot of evil activity, evil action, evil speech, then evil thought process, leading to war, conflict, argument, misunderstanding. So all this is a result of the evil roots. Roots of all evil make you evil, and all this will lead to karmic negativity, cause your karmic downfall. That's how you fail as a human being. When your karmic is not taken care of, when you neglect the law of karma, you will suffer, because you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you. As per Dhammapada verse 1. So train your mind to be heedful, so that you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a pure mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So this is Dhammapada verse 2. So to live life is very simple. Choose wisely, choose to be happy. Choose to avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Avoid being heedless. Choose to be heedful, train yourself, develop the stability of mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then your life change. That's why to improve your life, to change your life is very easy. Character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, you will transform. The moment you are heedful, you will develop the wisdom and the understanding, and you will understand life. You will know how to live life, and you will have the beautiful life. You will know how to take care of your karma. You will understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this mind all about. All the essential Dhamma of the Buddha will be understood. Then when you understand the fundamental truth, it's like you understand the secret of life. Then you know how to live life. And then you will be able to awaken, to realize the enlightenment, so that you can live the noble life of enlightenment. The third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. Okay, we will move on. So we are at number 7. Importance of using mindfulness to observe and understand how your mind stir or get conditioned into mental thinking or activity, leading to all the emotions and the reaction to sense experience that condition one's suffering, etc. We are comprehending the famous Mahayana saying of Qi Xing Dong Nian. This one is very beautiful. The meaning is, the moment you arise the mundane mind, you create thinking. And because you create thinking, you stir your mind. Hence, stirring of mind comes to be. Or in the Theravada term, it is called Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, the first dwelling of the dwelling of Paticca Sammuppada. So avijja is ignorant. So dependent on ignorant, mental activity arise. So ignorant condition, wrong thought, or mental activity or sankhara, the first tooling of Paticca Sammuppada. So this one is very important. That's why without mindfulness, you cannot understand. You cannot meditate, you cannot awaken. So it's very important to train your mind to develop the stability of mindfulness so that you can see things as they are, observe the truth and the reality, and understand how your mind stir and get conditioned into mental thinking and mental activity, leading to all the emotion and reaction to sense experience, your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That leads to suffering, how you suffer. So when you see all this, you can straighten your view, then you know how to reverse it, retrospectively reverse it. Without wrong view, you are beautiful. Without the severity, you are beautiful. There is no one to be angry. There is no one to be selfish, greedy. There is no one to fear, worry. That's why without the ego, without the personality, the atta, the egoic mind, the personality, you are so beautiful. You are just the way you are, because you are not a permanent unchanging entity. That form of mind is never you. That form of mind is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. see it in the meditation, understand it. Then follow the Buddha's essential Dhamma, the five daily contemplation, explained to you very clearly. The physical body, the first aspect of form is not you. Because this one goes the way of nature, no knowing, make out of the four elements. How can it be you? That's why it's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So if you have this understanding, you will not deludedly cling to this physical body. If you cling, you attach, believing that it's you, what will happen? You will worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. That fear, that worry, that anxiety, that sorrow, that lamentation, the suffering. That's how you cannot, that's the reason why you cannot attach, you cannot cling. So this aspect is very important. That all external form is the same, like how I teach you in the earlier chapter. Learn how to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. How do you see the unreality of form? Form is dependent, originating, condition arising. See it clearly, externally, at the physical level. See. Then, at the mental level, how do you know that form? Through your perception. And what is perception? It's just a mental image, even more unreal. Externally, already condition arising, dependent, originating. Impermanent, not so real. Then how do you know that form, like the blocker? Just a mental image, even more unreal. Then why do you cling on to it? Hold on to it. Attach and give meaning. And get yourself entangled. All form is a prelude to suffering when you attach and cling. So see it. Understand it. Reflect, contemplate, awaken to it. Then unless you can see beyond form, you can never see mind, because mind is even more subtle, less tangible. External form is more solid, more tangible. That's why in a similar way to seeing form, you have to see mind. The unreality of this mind is dependent, originating, condition arising, phenomenon. Then mind is impermanent. That's why it's dependent, originating, condition arising. Dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Then you will see clearly, feeling is also like that. Feeling come and go, you didn't die. Perception come and go, you didn't die. And they are all condition arising. You need condition for it to arise. How does feeling arise? You need a sense basis in it. Then you need contact of mind and the sense data. Then only feeling arise. Perception also need mind aggregate. You need the organ as a condition, like seeing consciousness. How you perceive what you see, color, shape, and form, the external form. You need the eye that is in proper condition, functioning. Then you need a mind to establish contact. Then you need the aggregate of perception to perceive it through memory. Then it enters the mind. See it in the meditation. What I explained to you is theory. But when you see it, you understand very clearly. You don't need to remember anything. So when you understand feeling, perception, mental activity, or sankhara, mental states, mental intention and all those, whatever that your mind can do is sankhara, then you will understand that they are all dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, impermanent. Therefore, if you want things your way, you attach and you cling, you suffer. Because it is not nature's way. Then the last one is the mind can be conscious of things. This moment seeing consciousness, next moment hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought process. So all these are the various types of consciousness that arise and pass away. dependent originating condition arising. See them in the meditation with a stable mindfulness. When you have the ability to be ever mindful, you can see all this very clearly. That's how you awaken and understand. Then you will see mind, its movement, its activity, its paticca-samuppada movement. Then how you come to know the world, how you function as a human being. You need your senses. You need your mental aggregates to feel, to perceive, to arise emotion, feeling, mental state, thought process, thinking, and other things. And you need to be conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So all this will lead you to see clearly the unreality of mind, because it is dependent originating, it's impermanent. Then when you understand this, you can use your mindfulness and awareness to see beyond mind. So if I see beyond the physical and I see beyond the mental, then what do I see? I see that true mind, that true nature, which is without word, without concept. I see things as they are. That all of humanity is one. We are no different anymore. When you identify with form, you divide and create a lot of division. When you identify with the thought process, it's the same. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, they are still very different. That's why there is conflict in the world. There is war, there is chaos, there is misunderstanding, argument, and the whole world is full of all this. That is what mundane mind is all about. Reality. Through thought, it divides. Through concept, through idea, it divides. Race, nationality, gender, religion, everything divides the world until there is so much problem, so much conflict and misunderstanding. So when you are able to see all this, then you can understand what that teaching is, the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. So we finish with number 7. So number 7, important of using mindfulness after you have trained to observe all this, to understand all this that I have taught you. To see the unreality, the impermanent, depending on dependent originating condition arising. See form, the unreality of form, then learn to see beyond form. Then when it comes to mind, say, when you have a stability of mindfulness, when you can see form and you can see beyond form, then you can see mind. Then you can see the impermanent nature of mind. Condition arising nature, dependent originating nature, empty nature. So when you start to see all this using the 5 analogy that the Buddha has given you for the 5 mind aggregate, then you become different. Then you can see beyond mind. You know mind is impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it is non-self. It is anatta. Empty. Thought come and go, you didn't die. Feeling come and go, you didn't die. Perception come and go, you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? How can thought be you? How can perception be you? How can consciousness be you? If they are not you, then why did they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? Inquire, ask yourself, find out in the meditation and awaken to it. I have shared all this in the teaching. You can find them in the Heart Sutra book. Read through them, contemplate, reflection, stabilize the understanding, and you will awaken. Okay? Then we move on to number 8. Originally, before the stirring, the mundane mind is already in the meditative state of inner peace, silent, and still awareness within. So the stirring of the mind only comes about when you do not have the wisdom and understanding of the fundamental principle of the original mind or the true mind. Then through our own self-delusion or ignorance, we cause our mundane mind to arise, hence the stirring via our own reaction to sense experiences at every moment of sense thought consciousness. Train the mind to have the silent inner awareness and clarity to see all this clearly. Then there is no more delusion. Therefore, understanding that if we can just let things be, then there is no more suffering or problem. And with this understanding, tranquility will return by not trying to do anything. That's why I say don't try to know, don't try to do anything. We are using the thought to suppress or control it, etc. That's what thought-based meditation is all about. They try to control and suppress their feeling. They say anger is me. I don't want to have anger. I want to do away with anger. So they control their mind. They don't want to have anger. They suppress their emotion, their feeling. They label, they verbalize, they note, they focus, they concentrate, they use energy field to stop the thought from moving. All this is thought-based meditation. You cannot free. So see them clearly. Then when you come to developing the wisdom, all this will help you. So I will continue from where I stopped. That is, just be patient to maintain the silent mind with clear inner awareness and let everything return to its original state before it's stirred. So this is very easy. That's why the fourth support for awareness-based meditation is relax into every mind state that arises. Don't focus, don't concentrate, just relax. Even piti arise, sukhang arise, concentration arise. Relax into it. Don't go and continue to focus or concentrate or go into one-pointedness or absorption. Don't. Just relax into it. Let the mind be. Don't try to do anything. And that is the third way. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The third way. Just maintain awareness, mindfulness. That's why relax aware. The second support is aware. Maintain the awareness for as long as you can. So the third support is 24 hours if you can maintain that mindfulness. So relax and aware is very important. When you are relaxed and aware, you don't give it any more mental energy, wrong thought. Then there is no more wrong thought. It will not condition sankhara activity. It will not stir the mind. Because it can be at peace with the reality. Yet you know, originally this mind, before my wrong view, before I stir or react to sense experience, it was peaceful, quiet, aware. Then why did the mind become heedless, think a lot, proliferate all the way, heedlessly lost in thought? Why? Because of mental hindrance. You lack the spiritual faculty. The mental hindrance make you like that. That's how the evil root arise. Because the mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. Because you cannot be in the meditative state, you lack the five spiritual faculty. That's how you become heedless. That's how you think a lot. So see it, understand it. Then don't do anything. Relax and maintain awareness or mindfulness. Just let it be. Then everything will fall back to its original state of stillness, tranquility and awareness. That's how you will come to realize your true mind as per the unique code. Just relax. Away. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Don't go and focus, concentrate, note. Don't stir the mind. No more thought-based meditation. Otherwise, your thought will be acting. Then how can you meditate? That's why you must learn how to relax and maintain awareness to see this clearly. So when you can do that, then you must witness through that silent mind, the awareness, to see how all your sankhara activities slow down, until finally, like there is a shift in consciousness. Like you suddenly become very quiet, very still. Like middle of the night, suddenly become very quiet. So your mind is the same. When the mental activity sankhara slow down, it become very quiet, very still. Then you will realize the silent mind, the meditative mind, your true mind, your true nature before the mundane mind arises, before the stir, the movement of thought activity, before perception, before knowing. See it. Then you will understand you have two minds. One is the unconditioned, the other one is the dependent originating condition arising, mundane mind, thinking mind. That one is the worldly mind. To live life, you use that. To meditate, you use the true mind. See it, understand it, then you will know how to meditate. Always remember when there is no delusion or ignorance, then there is no stirring of mind. Hence, having the understanding that only wisdom free your mind. That is, the moment you have wisdom, your mind will not stir and you are free. So no need to do anything after that, because things are just the way they are, suchness or tatata, the isness of things. So this aspect is very important. This aspect of understanding is very important. Then the other way to explain it is, the reason why I say only wisdom free is the same as last time I used to advise Kayamita. I remember the first time was Yun Chan. She always asked me, he said, "Bratio, this Yoni So Manasikara can learn on." I say, "You cannot learn. You have to develop it through an understanding. The moment you understand, the yoniso manasikara or initial wisdom is there. But before you understand, it is not there. So yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom is, you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot at the moment of sense experience want to cut a feeling. Because without wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot cut because you lack wisdom. But when you have wisdom, yoniso manasikara developed through the first and second turning wisdom or the third turning, then at the moment of sense experience, you don't need to do anything. It will arise and prompt you. It can be at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. It's the same. That's why it cannot move. That wisdom will arise and tell you, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Or thing is just the way it is. Suchness. Finish. Then rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. Finish. It cannot stir anymore. It cannot move anymore. It's just the way it is. Because this mind understand through wisdom. That's why it can be at peace. It can be at peace under all circumstances. Anywhere, any place, any circumstances. Yes, you have the ability to be at peace with every moment of sense or consciousness. Your mind will not stir, will not react anymore. You understand. Your mindfulness is there. Your awareness is there. Your initial wisdom is there. That's why this is the one that free your mind, protect you. Without mindfulness, you cannot develop the wisdom. Without wisdom, your mind cannot free. So they are all related. Yeah? See this, understand this. Okay, then we move on. There's a noun. Tata means tas in Sanskrit and Pali. The Buddhist thing, this refers to what is called reality as it is. Yatta Bhuta. This reality is also referred to as suchness, or the vastness of things, or tatata in Pali, indicating what is, or the isness of things. A Buddha or an Arahant is defined as someone who knows and sees reality as it is. Yatta Buddha Jnana Dasana. Gata means gone. That's why the word tata, gata. Is the past passive participle of the verbal root gam, go travel. Agata, come, is the past passive particle of verbal meaning come, arrive. That's why sometimes they call it the thus come one. Thus, in this interpretation, tathagata means literally either the one who has gone to suchness or the thus come one, who has arrived at suchness. Okay? So we move on. 2.1. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind because there is no impediment. He is not afraid and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind, ultimately Nibbana. Here, distorted dream thinking means delusion. Delusion, condition, inverted thinking. In Mandarin, the meaning is very good. Tian Tao, inverted thinking. Tian Tao. But the direct translation may be in English. You cannot get the meaning so clearly unless you are Mandarin educator or you know some Mandarin. The one who knows Mandarin will benefit because the Mandarin word is very good. Tian Tao means upside down thinking. That is taking the unreal to be the real and vice versa. That is the meaning of inverted thinking. This verse is so beautiful. So we are following the Heart Sutta text. That's why this is one section of the Heart Sutta text. So this Prajna Paramita is very powerful. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. So relying on perfection of wisdom, the Bodhisattva is unimpeded in his mind. Means that perfection of wisdom makes his mind different, liberated, clarity, understanding. That's why unimpeded. Then he can, there is no more impediment. Means nothing to obstruct her or him. Then he is fearless, not afraid. And he leaves distorted dream thinking or inverted thinking far behind, ultimately realizing Nibbana. Then all Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi through reliance of Prajna Paramita. Therefore know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate paragate parasamgate bohisawa. Here, Prajna Paramita means perfection of wisdom, cultivation, and Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi means the perfection of Buddhahood. This is even more beautiful. So the Heart Sutra, they are very profound, deep in their meaning, especially on the aspect of emptiness. True emptiness is wonderful existence, 2.3. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no mental activity or consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body and mind, no sight, no sound, no taste, no smell, tactile or mental form, no feel of eye up to and including no feel of mind consciousness. and no ignorant, or ending all ignorant, up to and including no old age, sickness and death, or ending all old age, sickness and death. There is no suffering, no cause of arising of suffering, no extinction of suffering, and no path, the Noble Eightfold Path, that leads to the end of all suffering, and no understanding and no attainment. So all these are very beautifully described under true emptiness. True emptiness means when you realize true emptiness, when you realize the unconditioned, then all the Four Noble Truths, the Dhamma that the conditioned world speak about, talk about or share, they don't exist in the unconditioned. That's why when you read this, you don't have the true understanding. You can never comprehend. You may think it's contradictory. You may think where got such thing, no old age, no sickness and death. The Buddha teach old age, sickness and death. Then no Four Noble Truth, no attainment. So everything also don't have. Because people cannot understand that it, within the unconditioned, it is without all those things. Yeah, those Dhamma pertain to the conditioned world. Within the conditioned world, there is Dhamma. There is old age, sickness, and death. There is enlightenment. There is awakening. There is attainment. But within the unconditioned, all these do not exist. Then, the next paragraph. Okay. This verse, like very contradictory to normally taught Dhamma. Oh yeah, I mentioned it here also. Hence, the beauty and uniqueness of the Heart Sutta. Reason why it is always expressed as true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is, when one is able to understand the profound true emptiness as taught in the Heart Sutta, then existence or life becomes wonderful and very meaningful and beautiful. Hence, there is no contradiction. Because on the one side is taught the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world. Then there is the realization of the unconditioned Dhamma, which is the understanding of true emptiness as taught by the Heart Sutta. The unconditioned Dhamma, as explained by the Buddha, is beyond thought, beyond time. Hence, no word, no concept, no idea, and no this and no that, which implies cannot be spoken or expressed like the great Tao. The Tao also is very abstractive. Abstract, sorry. The opening statement of the Tao, Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. The Tao that can be spoken, interpreted, or expressed, that is not the true Tao. Then it ends up with the statement, yet nothing is apart from the Tao. So everything is like so mysterious. But when you understand, it's not mysterious. It's not abstract. It's just truth. And it's very profound. You must understand what is the Tao. The Tao is the oneness. The complete unity. The oneness. The original state. Original nature. Okay, part 3. 3.1, review or compilation of email, understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Now this email is very useful. This email was the one that I wrote to various Buddhist society and organization all over the world. Especially there was one in the United States. I think in the United States there were two ones. But there is one which interact with me quite often during that time, where there were conditions for it. I think it's Dhammasukha that teaches the 6 R and all this thing. So anyway, I just go through it here. Virtue conducted a review on the compilation of email notes as written by him to various Buddhist group and Buddhist friends in the early years, with the title Understanding the Meditation as taught by the Buddha, so as to enable the cultivators of the Buddha Dhamma to have a better understanding of the key and important Dhamma as constantly emphasized by the Buddha. They are important of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, 2, and 183, verses 21, 22, 23, and the Buddha's final advice to all the monks before his final parinibbana. These Dhammapada verses are classified under the words of wisdom of the Buddha immediately after the content, introduction, and acknowledgement section. Those who have a copy will understand. Otherwise, you can go to the website. It's also in the website. Then point number two, the importance of understanding the true significance of the Four Noble Truths as expressed by the Buddha as the equivalent to the handful of leaf as emphasized by him at Kosambi in the Simsapa group over 2,500 years ago to the monk. Is very important. This is to enable them to stay focused in their cultivation. Otherwise, the chance of deviation are very high. The chances of deviation are very high and probable. The importance of understanding what is meditation is explained under email number 2 and 3. Yeah. This one I have already explained just now. But you go and read this book, the email number 2 and 3. Explain it even more clearly, what is meditation. Yet there was condition for this answer to be given. There were people from Dhammasukha. At that time, I think there were a few of the followers. They were discussing Dhamma. And I found the question very interesting. And they were not able to answer. So I just chip in and give some answer. Then the discussion continued. That's how the email compilation came about. So this aspect on what is meditation is clearly explained there too. I even use the analogy of the float, the swimming and all those things, which I also explained in the Heart Sutta book. But you go to that email, it's very detailed. Then next point is the importance of developing the three types of corresponding wisdom of Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya that will arise via cultivating the three turning of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha via his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, email number 4. Go and read up email number 4. This three turning wisdom I explain inside there. It will be clearer. Okay, we finish lesson 7. What's the time now? Oh, almost 10 o'clock. Maybe we continue a little bit more. Another 10 minutes, then we can end. Let me have a drink. Okay, lesson 8. Page 50, part 1. There's a question. Can you teach me how to meditate? This is a very typical question. Then I answer him. This is the most common question, but also the most common mistake because it is a wrong question to ask. Do you all know why it's a wrong question? What should be the right question? If you want to meditate, first thing you must understand is, I already explained to you earlier on, you must understand what is meditation, then only you can meditate, otherwise you become gullible. Teach me how to meditate. As if meditation is standard, everybody know. Okay? You become gullible. Then he give you method, technique, and teach you how to meditate with all the verbalization, or the instruction. The instruction come from what? Come from thought. And all this lead to thought-based meditation. But you don't understand. You are gullible. Then because of the word they use, you become attracted. Oh, I teach you vipassana meditation. Oh, you want to know what is vipassana? They say vipassana is the highest meditation, wisdom based meditation, not samatha. Then you become even more gullible. So all these are very common. So I will read to you my answer, then you can understand. When you ask this question, you are expecting the teacher or instructor to give you a method and a technique to meditate, isn't it? And this sounds very logical. But what is a method? It is only a series of instructions to do certain things, like training the mind to be mindful and heedful so that it is in the present moment, silent, peaceful, and aware within, or to train the mind to develop concentration, etc. And more often than not, the method or technique taught never defines the meditation. So isn't it more important to understand what is meditation? So this is the point you must bear in mind. Only then do we know how to develop the meditation. So whatever that appears logical may not necessarily be the truth. All right, question to ask. Then there is a note. Unless you understand what meditation is, you will not be able to develop it. All methods and techniques given are only initial skillful means meant to help train the mind to be heedful or in concentration. They are only a series of instructions given to initially train the mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought or preoccupied with what it is thinking or feeling. The purpose of meditation is to train the mind to be heedful, then to use it to see things as they are, to develop the wisdom, and to understand how the five mental hindrances can hinder the mind from returning to its original state of silent inner awareness and peace before its stirring. Do not fight the mental hindrance or force it to go away, but instead just develop the corresponding five opposite spiritual faculties of mind, especially sati and samadhi, as taught by the Buddha, to arise the wisdom to counter them. For the Dhamma is beyond thought and beyond time. Heedfulness is without thought, hence without psychological time. But you always advise us to diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculties because they are key to the development of the 37 factors of enlightenment. And these five spiritual faculties, they appear twice within the 37 factors of enlightenment. Then the next question is, can chanting itself bring about enlightenment? Before I go into this, maybe I will add in one more thing about the first question, 1.1. You see, if they give you instruction, especially thought-based instruction, to not to verbalize, to focus, concentrate, or 40 object of meditation, to develop the counter image and to focus the mind, leading to one pointedness of mind, or what they call ekagata. Then they develop jhanic factor. The five jhanic factor are vitaka, vichara, piti, sukhang, and ekagata. Vitaka is applied thought. Then after you apply the thought, that's why they focus on the object of meditation or 40 object of concentration. Then they apply the thought there, they focus. Instead of being mindful, aware, they focus. Sometimes even anapanasati, they teach you to feel the tip of the nostril and all that. Forget about all those things. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Finish. No need to focus, no need to feel anything. Just mindful. That's why when you don't understand all this, give rise to misunderstanding, complication. Then when you start to focus and concentrate, it becomes worse. They develop energy field thought based meditation. And this is what jhana is all about, samatha is all about. So samatha meditation is thought based energy field, focusing, concentrating. Then the less dangerous one is continuous mindfulness, absorption. When they become deeply absorbed into the object of meditation, even anapanasati. If you go beyond upacara samadhi and go into apana samadhi, then you get yourself absorbed into it. But that one is better than one-pointedness. So whatever it is, you are not following the instruction of the Buddha to develop heedfulness. The heedfulness is ever mindful, constantly meditating. Ever mindful is not ever concentrated on, ever focusing on, no, ever mindful, aware. That's why you have to train your mind to develop this awareness first, or have the understanding to relax and silent and let the awareness arise, or sati arise. The original mind, realize that. That stabilize it, let mind enter sati. That is what you're supposed to do. Not all those funny, gullible things. So if you understand that, then you will know how to meditate. That's why it's more important to ask the question, what is meditation? Then from there, you will not be gullible. You will not lose your focus. You will know what you are doing in the name of meditation. If I want to meditate, means I want to train my mind to be heedful. Then I can do it in two ways. Develop the spiritual faculty, then mental hindrance gone, then I relax, maintain awareness, I will be in the meditative state. Then my enter sati, finish. But if the spiritual faculty is still not there, you still need to train, then use any method or technique or skillful means like mind sweeping method. Use it. But initially, after that, when mind enters sati, then you don't have to train anymore. You don't have to go and continue to note rising, falling, or anapanasati. No need. But once your mind has entered sati, you are in the meditative state already. You don't have to do any of those methods and techniques anymore. They are just initial skillful means to anchor your mind and to train your mind. Understand that clearly. Then you will know how to meditate. Yeah. Then you will understand the second question. Can chanting itself brings about enlightenment? This is a very interesting question. What about those who believe in chanting? Can chanting itself brings about meditation? Yes. It can, provided you know how to chant with very strong faith, clear mindfulness and understanding. For it can also bring about the cultivation of the five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to enlightenment. So don't be rigid or dogmatic to simply comment when you still cannot understand other people's cultivation or practice, especially those of the Mahayana or the Pure Land tradition. Their Buddhas and their Bodhisattva vows are very powerful, and they can help those who are sincere to connect to their vow, enabling them to develop the cultivation so much faster. Whatever you do in life, and if you know how to develop it with understanding, then it can bring about a transformation too. For life itself is the meditation via the cultivation of daily mindfulness, which is the cultivation of sati sampajana. As long as you can develop the five spiritual faculty leading to a stable sati sampajana, then definitely it will lead to enlightenment. So Mahayana chanting is based on what? Based on that chanting. That chanting is usually, they call it the Buddha's name, the four how. Means the mantra or the name of the great being, the Bodhisattva or the Buddha. And because they have great faith in their teacher, in their tradition, like Amitabha Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, or any other great beings. So that faith will drive them to cultivate. And because of the faith, the virya will arise. Then they continuously chant until no one is chanting, until the chanting and that mantra or vowel become one. Means in perfect harmony and synchrony, means no one is chanting. Yeah. And that one can happen. Yeah, I did it before. Then I realized in the past, I have also cultivated this type of chanting. Yeah. My one was the Amitabha Buddha one. Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. It just arise. And after I received that tape, especially Quang Ching Lao Sang, the old monk, the very famous old monk, Quang Ching. So he has this tape, I remember, given to me by Sister Sumitra and Rama Mahinda during the 80s. But the Dhamma was very beautiful in Mandarin. That's why I listened to that tape many, many times. Then it's all in Mandarin, but the background, there is this Amitabha chanting. Yeah. And because of that, the conditioning reminded my nature. Yeah, I have done it before. Then after I have listened and I have understood the Dhamma, then I just silence my mind and listen. And listen until my awareness and the chanting become one. Then I realize there is no one chanting inside there. It's just the awareness and the chanting become one. But the chanting, the vibration and the sound through my hearing consciousness came from the recording, the tape. Then it just chant, then my awareness is there. Then later on, without the cassette, one day while I was driving, that chanting arises in my brain up there. So that's why I stopped my car after that. I think you go and read the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. I share them inside there, so as to save some time. So when you have that ability, means your sati is developed until that chanting, your awareness and the chanting become one. No one is chanting. Then it develops stability until it enters sati. Because throughout the day, they just chant. So the sadha, virya, sati, and samadhi is very powerful. Then everything they do, even the religious routine, like they are chanting lao pho and all those things, like our Cameron Highland. Triple Gem Temple, Bring Chang, San Pao, early morning, afternoon, and evening. So they will do that, and they are very mindful. As they chant, as they do all this, they are very mindful, even when they pay respect. It's very melodious. The faith is all there, very beautiful, very soothing. That's how it can happen. Then when the spiritual faculty is there, especially sati and samadhi and the faith, it will give rise to understanding. Then they realize they are mindful in the midst of life. Then they can see their mental activity, their mental states. Then when there is this teaching, they can understand very fast. And the Mahayana teaching is very beautiful. They have words like qi xing dong nian. They will understand straight away. The moment you arise, the mind, mundane mind, activity of thought will arise. Then, 无念是真心, they will understand. Without thought, that is the true mind. So their meditation becomes very easy. They see it. They understand it. So don't simply comment when people cannot understand. I remember in the early days, sometimes they mentioned it in such a way, my nature has this compassion for them because they simply comment without understanding. They go to the extent and comment. Just chant, chant, chant. No four noble truth, no noble evil power can enlighten. They dare to comment in such manner. No, I pity them. there is compassion inside because of ignorant people say this. That's why avoid saying all this so that there is no coming obstruction. When you don't understand, have an open mind. Don't simply say things. Don't be too eager to promote your whatever Theravada teaching or any aspect of your teaching, your belief system. Because unless you can understand, refrain from commenting. Because this one has great karmic implication. If you do that, you create unnecessary karmic obstruction, which can be very severe. So always remember, have an open mind. Do not comment. The heedless mind like to comment because it wants to be right and it thinks it knows. There is knowledge. There is not knowing. Not until your cultivation reach that level, you can never understand. That's why respect other people's teaching. Okay, I think we should end. We are 10:16 already. Okay, we stop at 1.2. Okay. Then we can have our Q&A. Okay, we will open up for Q&A. Anybody who wants to ask any question or share anything, you can just come in. On back your speaker, then you can come in. Or wave your hand, then we can see you. We will contact you. Anybody? How come nobody asks question? Everything understood on. Anybody? Or anything else that you want to understand? Don't be shy. Just come in. If you don't have any question, then what is it that you want me to speak on? Is it clear today's sharing? We need some feedback. Can somebody just give some feedback? You have question, you can ask. If you don't have, then you can give some feedback. Tell me, okay, good. Tell me, I saw your thumb up. Yeah, you come in, yes. Yeah, come in, tell me. Your thumb is very beautiful. You want to say something? Tell me.
I just want to say that today the sharing is very good. I know Mother Teo has already spoken this many, many times. And then I found that you say about thought-based meditation. Okay. I found that even though, like, able to aware on that habitual tendency, then sometimes when the mind in delusion, it will go back to the habitual tendency of thought.
It will draw you. It will draw you. And you will be lost in thought again. Never mind. If it happens, see, the moment you're aware that you are already lost in thought, that moment itself is attention. Then bring it back. Like meditation, bring it back. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Develop the ability to be aware, attentive, within. Check your awareness within. When you are aware within, means you really aware. If you are not aware within, there is the thought telling you that you are aware. Well, the thought can see another thought or recall another thought and say, this is mindfulness. I'm aware of my anger. No. The moment he said that, he is no longer with the anger. With the anger already gone, he, through his thought, recollect that he has anger just now. So there is a big difference. When you say you are aware of your anger, means at the moment of the arising of anger, your awareness is vivid, silent. Then you find out. You will see how that emotion or that anger or that fear dissipate. See it. You must see. Then you will understand. Anger was never you. It's dependent originating, condition arising. Without wrong thought, stirring of mind, reaction of mind, there is no anger. But the moment anger arises, it will not stop. You continue to think negatively about it, and it continue to condition your emotion, make you more angry and more unhappy. So when you are aware of that, you just silent, then you find, don't do anything, don't try to know, don't suppress, don't control. Just be with it, like Kok Lun Len. Kok Lun Len, that one, very helpful for him. Be with it. Just like the awareness and the chanting as one. Now it's your awareness and your anger or emotion as one. That is meditation. Once you go through that, you will understand very clearly. Then you see how your sankhara inside there, the emotion, the like some energy very strong at your heart there. Then when you relax into it, it slowly dissipates and cease. There is like very soothing inside there. Tranquil, still, soothing. You must feel that. That is your true mind. That is your original mind. Your meditative mind that is tranquil, still, and just aware, peaceful. Yeah. Experience that. Unless you go through that, you are doing thought-based meditation, you can never understand the true Dhamma. Your mind will never stabilize and enter sati. Very good. Sadhu, tell me for the good condition. Yes.
And because lately now working at home, right? So in the morning I will do some like exercise like yoga and also.
Very good, Sadhu.
Then when you know qigong at the end, you will do the soul chi and then you kind of like mind sweeping method.
Yes, very good. In fact, your qigong and your tai chi is a form of mindfulness, but don't go and store your energy unless you want it for your health. Then you can do it. Otherwise, no need to store. Just maintain that mindfulness, movement, awareness, body and mind as one, awareness and the kaya movement as one. Even when you do yoga, it's the same, mindful. That's why the emphasis is relax. Yoga also relax. Tai chi also relax. Qigong also relax. You must relax for the qi to flow. Then when you relax, you don't think. Then when the movement arises, you actually mindful of it, you develop the qi actually. But more important is the mindfulness. The qi is a byproduct. So certain type of exercises like tai chi, qigong and wai tang kong or whatever, they tap the qi, then they store it at the tan tian, then they release the earthly energy, the kundalini tan tian earth energy, then they develop certain power, qi. Then it's good for health and maybe healing or what, but don't go and tell people, I share this on, but otherwise, they will come after me. Wait, listen carefully.
Okay.
Those who store their energy, don't panic. Just because I say, don't panic. If you use it for health or whatever, it's good. Don't worry. But this energy will be useful also later on. But just in case if you have done it, the negative part is it actually hinders your meditative progress. Because energy field and wisdom, you cannot mix the two. It hinders means when you develop the desire or interest to store this energy, you tend to deviate from your mindfulness training. Your focus is already on the energy field, which is nothing wrong. It depends on the person. If you prefer that because you need it for the health or what, you do it. There is no such thing as right or wrong. It's your priority. But if you want to develop the meditation, the wisdom, then you try not to mix the thing. But if you have already done it, don't worry. Finally, when you know how to relax, because when you have a lot of qi, you find it more difficult to relax. And sometimes this qi can create yin-yang imbalance inside you. You don't know how to tame it. Because before you have the wisdom, the awakening, the enlightenment, this yin-yang inside you is not balanced. So they go and activate that energy center using their thought. So this is thought. Thought is energy. So every time when they store their energy there through their thought, they actually, I mean, in the term of what my last guy tell me, this is tampering with the chakra. This is not opening. Opening is through your gateway inside. The pure energy go and do it naturally on its own. Trust the fourth support. But if you do it with thought going to that nerve center or chakra, then it's like you are tempering it, means through your own thought energy, which is still not the pure yin-yang because you don't have the wisdom, the enlightenment. So this energy still has duality, yin and yang. So this yin and yang energy going is not pure energy, but it can release the energy down there, the chakra and all this movement. So when that thing happens, be careful. Because a lot of people get into deviant samadhi and get into trouble because they go and use it for psychic ability and all those things. That's why I say, don't simply quote me. You don't understand, don't quote me. But don't worry. You have stored, nothing wrong. Don't worry. It will be useful. But later on, when you detect the gateway, when you know how to meditate, this untamed energy will flow up and melt inside there. It will flow out and melt inside there. Don't worry. So nothing to worry. But for those who really wants to focus on meditation to develop the wisdom, you don't have to stop. You don't worry. You cannot perform magic. Never mind. Don't worry. In fact, it's better. But you have that tendency from the past. Never mind. Do it. It's okay.
I just like it because
Because
I like to do like some exercise or yoga because it's kind of like, you know, when like for example yoga got a lot of poses, then poses are quite hard to do it. Then it's only when one's mind is clear enough or relaxed and then surrender,
then it will fall into place. Because you relax and don't resist,
yeah,
it will fall into place. Otherwise, you cannot relax. To relax is not to resist. Silence everything and just let it be. Then it will fall into place. You can discuss with Sui. She also likes yoga. Jayanta also do yoga. I was told Jayanta also, our doctor, also do yoga. So you all among your youth, huh? You can have a lot of common discussion. Good, Sadhu. Under MCO can exercise some more and develop yoga mindfulness. Very good. Sadhu.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for your question and sharing. Sadhu. I think already 10:30. Unless got one more question we can take. If not, we will end. Any more question or anybody wants to say something? Otherwise, we end. Okay, we end. We will do the sharing of merits. Okay. We will recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we will share these merits. Then we will start off by sharing merits with all the devas. Akasata Chirpumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Hita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Deo satukalena sasa sampati heto cha. Vito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Emina punyang kamena. Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you. Then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. And then we can end. We will end the recording first.